is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are Passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
There were lessons learnt at the weekend as Pompey were brought crashing back down to earth.
And referee John Busby decides there will be no more, and the Cowleys winning run to start their time in charge of Portsmouth has come to an end.
The Blues suffered their first defeat under the guidance of the Cowley brothers on Saturday, and on tonight's show we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of head coach Danny, who pinpoints plenty of areas to work on in the training ground.
I just thought that maybe our decision making in the final third wasn't great, and our movement in the final third was a problem for us. I think we struggled without that extra attacking player.
And later on, we'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of the boss ahead of tomorrow's trip to Gressy Road.
We know Crewe Alexander are a dangerous opponent, and we'll be preparing for a really tough game.
There's plenty to get through here on the show tonight. As ever, we'd like you back home to get in touch and help us through the next 60 minutes of Pompey discussion. Let us know your thoughts from Saturday, as well as your score predictions for tomorrow's clash with Crewe. You're listening to 93.7 Express FM. A very good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, a very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information relating to fares, timetables and up-to-date COVID guidelines. We are live here in Studio 2 of Express Towers to bring you another 60 minutes of passionate Pompey discussion. I'll be introducing two more Blues fans onto the show very, very shortly to go over the talking points from Saturday's result with Burton Albion and to preview tomorrow's trip to Crewe. Have your say tonight. Don't hesitate to get in touch between now and 7 o'clock, be it with a thought from the weekend's performance, a score prediction, or even a question of your own. We'd love to hear from you this evening. The number to text is 81400. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can find us on Twitter at ExpressFM, email Pompey at ExpressFM.com, or go to Facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we do go any further with the conversation tonight, we're going to take a listen back to how it all unfolded at Fratton Park at the weekend. Danny Cowley was aiming to achieve a fifth win in five in charge of the Blues, whereas the opponents Burton were hoping to continue their own impressive surge up the table.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Four matches in for Danny Cowley, four victories for Portsmouth. They've come from behind, they've gone out in front, they've played some great football and they've dug in and found a way to get a win. Portsmouth against Burton Albion, and we are underway, and Pompey have the ball through Ben Close inside his own half. He'll go out towards the right-hand side to Callum Johnson on halfway. Johnson goes down the line looking for Harness, and Harness won't keep that one in by the dead ball line. It's an excellent challenge, and he looks to try and set Curtis off down the left-hand side. Can Curtis get to the ball? They're ahead of Carter, and it's gone behind. He couldn't, but all Carter could do was put it behind for Portsmouth's first corner of the game, 0-0. Taken short, now his Harness into the near post, and it's gone into the outside netting off the chest of Sean Clare. It's another corner for a minute. I thought it was just going to sneak in past Ben Garrett at the near post for a Pompey goal. So Hamer prepares another long one in towards the penalty area, this one towards the near post, into the six-yard box. What a save from McGilvery, clean off the line, still there into the net, and Burton have taken the lead. It's Mike Fondop McGilvery saved brilliantly. Then it was cleared off the line, but Portsmouth couldn't get it out of the six-yard box. And on the stroke of half-time, Mike Fondoff has got his second Burton goal. It's Portsmouth 0, Burton 2. It's laid off for a shot to come from distance. Oh, what a strike! What an effort from Joe Powell. Beats Craig McGilvery to his left. I don't think anyone saw that coming. And Burton have doubled their lead in the second minute of the second half. A wonder strike from Powell. It's Portsmouth 0, Burton Albion 2. Harness has found himself. Wants to try and take on Powell. Cutting in field. Now into the area. Daniels for Curtis. Curtis swivels. Shot deflects in the air. Easy for the goalkeeper to save. And Watmore sees the ball bounce. And Akins could be in here. Lucas Akins. Good save from McGilvery. The follow-up is still loose in the area. Nobody there for Akins to pull it back to. And Pompey survive. Maybe could have and should have been 3-0. Pompey take the corner short as Harness looks to try and work it in the area for Close. It's bouncing around. A header's into the net. And Charlie Daniels has got his first Portsmouth goal. The ball just looped up and in the six-yard box. He helped it over Garrett. And Portsmouth have found a way through. And they have 2 minutes plus stoppage time to salvage a point from this game. Portsmouth 1, Burton Albion 2. Byers chips it in. Daniels will chase it. That should go through to Garrett. And it's behind for a goal kick. And we're in the sixth minute of added time. And referee John Busby decides there will be no more. And the Cowleys' winning run to start their time in charge of Portsmouth has come to an end. They've been beaten 2-1 by Burton Albion.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
All of the action there as Pompey fell to a 2-1 defeat to Burton Albion at PO4 on Saturday afternoon. That result, with Blackpool's draw at Lincoln, puts Pompey down to fifth in League One. Now 12 points behind Peterborough in second, although with the game in hand, and just 2 points above Charlton in seventh. They beat Sunderland at the Stadium of Light at the weekend. OK, it's time now to bring some more voices onto the show, and I imagine probably the only two people in Portsmouth right now, bar myself, of course, enjoying a nice cold pint in some pub somewhere. First of all, a very good evening and welcome back to our very own Henry Deacon. Henners, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been a little while since we spoke. A lot of things have happened since, but yeah, no, good to be back on.
Good. It's a good pleasure to have you back on the show. Henry, joining you tonight, we have Mr. Ryan Honey. I'm sure you both be very familiar right now. Ryan, likewise, mate, great to hear from you. And thanks for calling in to chat this evening.
No, thanks, Jake. Bit of a late substitution, but I'm very happy to be here again.
Yes, very pleased to have you on the show, Ryan. And for those who do follow on social media, we were due to have Paul Fletcher on the show tonight. He's called in very late. He's had to go off to work, which is absolutely fair enough. We'll get him on very, very soon when we can. First real question, lads, and I'm sure we'd love to kind of dwell upon Saturday's defeat. But Henry, I'm sure you've been waiting for this day for a very long time in particular. Have you had your first haircut yet?
No, it's coming on Thursday.
Okay.
I didn't want to go straight away into it today because I knew there'd be queues. I mean, after 3 months, what does 3 days do? But I'm looking forward to that first pint at some point soon. I'm looking forward to the new freedoms, I've got to say. It's been a long, long time coming.
And Ryan, were you one of those in the queue for Primark this morning down Commercial Road?
I can confirm I wasn't, okay. No. At least in my worry shopping.
I must admit, I did wait. I think it was about 1.75 hours. For the barbers this morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it got...
How many nanos in the meantime?
I can't confirm or deny that answer, Henry. Anyway, let's get back to the football then, lads. That's what everyone's tuned in to the show for this evening. And Henry, we'll start off with you, mate. A 2-1 defeat against Burton Albion on Saturday. Now, given Danny Cowley's track record at the club, you know, since his appointment last month, 4 wins and 1 loss, it is really... First of all, it's not time for a meltdown, is it?
The panic button could be put in a vault, locked away, put in the Tower of London or somewhere else, because it's far from that. There's always going to be a blot, isn't there, somewhere, even when you're a team in form, which is what Portsmouth have become over the last few weeks. And you've got to put into context as well. I know Burton are further down the table, but you look at the job that Jeremy Floyd Hasselbank has done since he's gone in at the Brewers. It's probably two of the form sides in the league going head to head on Saturday. So if you put it in that perspective, it probably was a pick 'em 50-50, and it was just moments that went their way which swung the tie in the end. Okay, we get the goal late on, and perhaps there's a little bit of hope of getting the draw, but I think ultimately anyone that watched the game knew that the better side got the win.
Certainly Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has had a massive impact since his return to Burton Albion, Ryan, on New Year's Day, taking the club from rock bottom in League One. I think they only had 13 points at the time. They've now surged up to, you know, kind of the middle of the pack. They are, I think, they're now 10 points clear of the drop zone following Saturday's victory, with two games in hand as well. It's fair to say they will probably survive this season, just emphasising what Henry's been saying there about how great of a job Jimmy Floyd has done at Burton. But coming down to Fratton Park on Saturday, they were a team with their own game plan. They, you know, they'd come off the back of the victory, but prior to that, they'd gone four without a win. They came down, they executed arguably better than Pompey executed their own game plan. And on the day, like Henry said, the better team won. And sometimes you've just got to sit back and take that for what it is.
No, exactly. I mean, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink's come in and done an incredible job. Like you say, rock bottom. And now they're over 10 points clear. Their safety is pretty much intact. Not mathematically, of course, but you'd like to think with the form that they're in and the way that they have been playing, relegation's off the cards. And for them to come down and play the way they did against us, obviously they're confident, they're in form. That, like you say, they stuck to their game plan, and then we didn't have any answers. And we're obviously in great form as well. So for us to not have any answers in the form that we're in says it all, really. And Burton deserve huge credit.
Yeah, and I think you could pinpoint perhaps a lot of it on Saturday, Henry, down to, you know, the high tempo play that Danny Cowley has implemented at Fratton Park since, you know, his and his brother's arrival last month, and we saw signs of that at Wigan on Easter Monday, albeit we still got the victory at the DW Stadium. You could see that perhaps tiredness and fatigue starting to creep in. As much as Saturday you could pinpoint down to Burton coming down and simply, you know, just being the better team on the day, could you also argue that perhaps Pompey just running out of steam a little bit, and sometimes it takes that one game where, you know, you do show signs of, you know, areas you need to improve upon in the next game, and you use that to your advantage to improve on that in the training ground.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is not a luxury of time to tomorrow night, but I think the way you've got to look at it is that when you compare the two managers that's been in charge of that team this season, the styles and the philosophies, that to suspect couldn't be any further apart, where you've got a bit more of a passive tempo where you like to put men behind the ball with jacket, whereas the Cowleys, front foot, always looking to go forward with every ball, every attack. And when a manager comes in with a completely different philosophy, that means you're covering more ground, more yards midway for a season compared to perhaps having that off season, that off time, and to go over that in a full pre-season programme. You're going to have spells where, especially when you've got a period where you're playing game after game, where you are going to feel a little bit lethargic. You're going to feel a little bit fatigued. But the quality is there to come back. And it was also a little bit about adaptability because, like I say, it's been high tempo, high press, and there's a lot of games to come in a short space of time. And, of course, you want to keep that tempo going. It's perhaps maybe reining it in a little bit and seeing how the squad players can develop and maybe for some reining in those shackles a little bit.
Yeah. Linda Mail on my emails has got in touch this evening. Good evening to you, Linda. She says, we all knew it happened, losing our first game under the Cowleys, but with our injury problems up front, it is a big ask of the players playing there. It is very difficult at the moment to change the game from the bench with the limited options. Automatic promotion is gone, but the playoffs are still a possibility, which a few weeks ago did not look likely. Play up Pompey, says Linda Mail there on the emails. Thanks for getting in touch there, Linda. Okay, let's hear now the post-match thoughts of Blues head coach Danny Cowley, who caught up with Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team on the touchline at Fratton Park shortly after the 2-1 defeat to Burton Albion.
Today for us, really, we've conceded a soft goal and we needed a goal made in heaven to score for us. And whenever that happens, it becomes difficult to win football matches. And I thought we passed the ball well until the final third in the first half. And in the final third, I thought we forced some of our decisions and executions. They're a team that are very big and very physical, and we want to try to upgrade our chances. We want to try to get in behind them, get to the cutback zones, cutbacks and pullbacks, get numbers in the box, little slide rule passes and win the back of them and get in behind them. And I just thought that maybe our decision making in the final third wasn't great, and our movement in the final third was a problem for us. I think we struggled without that extra attacking player. You know, to be fair to Andy, we try to use him in a number 10 role, but he's more suited to probably playing as an 8. But we knew against their pressing system that we needed two sixes to be able to get our build going. And I think Andy kept coming down to the ball and we really lacked penetration. And Ronan, who's done a great job, it's hard to play as a number 9, and he's done a brilliant job for the team, a really, really good job for the team. But it's a specialised position, and you know, other than the goalkeeper, it's probably the most specialised position, and he's done brilliant in the previous two. And I just thought today we didn't quite get the timing of our movement right at the top end of the pitch, and we tried to change it and bring Ryan Williams back inside, and then that means Andy has to play as an 11 and he's not an 11. But we're short of options in the top end of the pitch, that's for sure. We hope that we'll have Johnny back, but unfortunately he's had a second injection in his ankle, so we'll have to wait and see on that one. But we'd hope that obviously he's now suspension is ended, that we'll be able to get him back, because you know, any team in League One is obviously going to miss Johnny Marquez.
Is it affected by perhaps frustration setting in as well, when you have so much possession but you just can't create the clear-cut chances?
Well, possession's irrelevant to me. It's what you do with it, and it's, you know, you have to play with purpose. And I actually thought that we did play with purpose up until the final third. And in the final third, like I said, it was a little bit too slow, not enough penetration. To be fair to Burton, they do very well. They get a back six very quickly. So their defensive transition, they quickly get their wingers back in and they build a defensive line of six players. And it's hard to penetrate. So what you have to do well, you have to make sure you don't concede a soft goal. And we knew all about their long throws. We did a lot of work trying to deal with it, but we lost three contacts in our box. And we actually lost three contacts in our box second half to a throw as well. And that can't happen, because if you do, you're going to concede. And if you do concede against the style of team that Burton are, then it does make it very difficult for you. If we hadn't conceded at half-time, we'd have come out second half, we'd have dominated the ball and they would have tired, which they did. I mean, I am proud of the way we finished the game. I'm pleased with the subs that come on. When you bring a defender on, sometimes you bring them on as an attacking player. And Rasmus, we saw as an attacking sub for us, because, and I think it actually showed that he was able to come in and step in and find his passes as a natural left footer. And it gave us more fluidity in our play. And, you know, we want to be that team. We never want to lose, especially here. We're Portsmouth Football Club. No way should teams be coming here and getting the better of us. But if we are going to come up short in games, then we want to make sure that we go to the end. If they're going to beat us, they're going to have to kill us. And we want to be relentless. That's, you know, that for me is a really important quality to have as a group. And I did think that we had a relentless finish. But ultimately, if you concede soft goals, you're always going to make it much more difficult for ourselves. And I think that's why we're frustrated, because there was a lot that was good, but ultimately, if you concede soft goals and you're not quite penetrative and ruthless in the final third, then it's hard to win.
Lee Brown came off injured in the first half, which wasn't nice to see. What was the story there?
No, we're getting on the wrong side of it. We look like Michael Jacobs got a knee injury on Monday. Just got a kick in the back of his knee, and the medial ligament issue that he had at the beginning of the season looks like it's flared up, and that unfortunately looks like it's going to be an operation in the end of the season for him. We're really short at the top end of the pitch, and obviously Lee Brown, we'll have to see how that settles. That was actually a soft tissue injury, a tight hamstring, which is really disappointing, because we accept the contact injuries, and we've had a few of those since we've been here, but we don't like to get the soft tissue ones, so we'll have to go back and look at that and try to work out the reasons why.
You had the late rally at the end there, but even so, are you the type of manager that would like to see a reaction when you lose a game?
Absolutely. You know, for us, you know, I went through 13 years of my managerial career without ever losing more than two games on the trot.
It wasn't until last year at Huddersfield, and we inherited a team in a really difficult moment that only won one game in 38 that we'd actually lost three on the trot. So, you know, 13 years is a long time. So we were really proud of that record of responding to disappointment. And that ultimately is what you have to do if you want to be a successful football team. If you want to be good, then when you do have a disappointment, you do come up short, then you have to quickly digest it. You have to use the disappointment to fuel you in your next performance. And we now go to Gresty Road against a good crew team, and we'll be looking for a response.
Danny Cowley there with his say on Pompey's performance at the weekend. And Ryan, Danny Cowley saying it entirely how it is, not afraid to criticise constructively and get the message across that he wasn't happy with what he saw at the weekend, whilst also reassuring supporters of the hard work that will go into improving things for the future.
No, I mean, it's extraordinary, really. Like, when I was watching his interview, when I was watching his interview back, I was enthralled by what he was saying. Some of the stuff he was coming out with, it was so straight to the point, and it's exactly what you want to hear as a fan. The points that he was making, I mean, something that sticks out to me is, if you want to beat us, you got to kill us. That for me, is it shows passion, it shows grit, and that is exactly what a Portsmouth manager should be telling his players. And I think it's shown as well in the games that we've seen so far.
Okay, then, we are just now approaching, or we've actually gone past 20 past seven, which means it's time for a very short break here on Express FM. But when we return, the three of us here will be continuing to review Saturday's defeat. We'll also discuss the delayed return of John Marquis, as well as preview tomorrow's trip to Crewe. And we'll also hear more from Danny Cowley, who has been speaking about how he plans to get the best out of his team following a disappointing display at the weekend.
Possession's great, but there always needs to be a purpose to it. And when I look at our possession, I quickly look for our chance conversion. And if we're being critical of ourselves, which we have to be if we want to improve, then we need to create more chances for the amount of possession that we had.
So be sure to remain tuned in and join us for part two of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to tonight's instalment of the Football Hour, supported by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you around Portsmouth and Hampshire quickly, safely, and all whilst doing their bit for the environment too. I'm joined over the powers of the internet this evening by Henry Deacon and Ryan Honey to talk all things Pompey and to look ahead to tomorrow's trip to Gresty Road, home of Crewe Alexandra. We'll take a closer inspection at this week's opponent later on with Connor Mosley, and we'll also hear more from Henners and Ryan. But first, let's go to the socials, where Rodrigo Gosport has got in touch. He says the Blues had a tough one. They couldn't wear them down, but it's no biggie. One loss for the Cowleys. Considering the players are not the Cowleys team, they have done very well. It's not over yet. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport. And a very good point there, Henry, from Roger in Gosport on the text, highlighting that, you know, this squad is one that has been adopted by Danny and Nicky Cowley since they've come in. They've not had a transfer window. They've had to come in and essentially use the tools but have been left by the previous management. And, you know, from what they've done so far, we mentioned in part one, four wins and a defeat is a very good record for a new manager coming into a new club. But when you take into, you know, consideration everything he had come into Fratton Park, you know, these players who were so, it appeared so low in confidence, they needed that spark and that inspiration to get them going again. There's no denying, but, you know, just because of one defeat, there's no denying that spark is still there. It's just sometimes you do lose games, and sometimes it is hard to point any fingers at the weekend, because you really cannot go into any football match assuming that you're guaranteed to win it just because you're Portsmouth Football Club.
The only certainties are uncertainties, and look, we're always going to lose football matches. That's just the way sport goes. But think of the conversation that we had when we did the Peterborough game together, didn't we, on Pompey Live a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Compared to the conversations that we're having now, it's absolute chalk and cheese, the conversations that we're having. There's an energy, there's a buzz, there's a feel-good factor, and they have generated that. And look, as I say, you're always going to lose football matches here and there. Of course, you don't want to fall in the trap of possibly dropping points tomorrow and then people start asking questions. But look, four wins from your first five as a manager, going into a new club that's low on confidence, just lost a cup final. It's a very, very good return. And And they've gone from, Ports have gone from a position now where I think everybody perhaps came close to writing off playoff football to a team now that if you're a bookmaker, you put good money on them getting in a space of 3 or 4 weeks. I think just shows the tremendous job that the Cowleys have done so far.
We welcome you all to get involved from back home tonight, like Roger's just done a few moments ago. Blues fans, get in touch with all your Pompey opinions, questions and predictions between now and seven. All the usual ways, it's at ExpressFM. If you're on Twitter, you can text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PompeyLive. And Ryan, kind of going back to Saturday's defeat just as a whole, when you lose a game in the manner of which Pompey did and, the way that we've seen the Blues set up in recent matches, as kind of Henry was just saying there, when you compare our conversation tonight to that of around about a month ago, with Kenny Jackett in charge, with everything that was going on back then, I think it's probably easier to swallow this pill of defeat now than it was back then because the circumstances have completely changed.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the form that we were in heading into this game. Yes, we lost, but it's just one of those things, like Henry was saying, you're going to lose football games every so often, but flip of the coin, a loss under Kenny Jackett, we was loss after loss after loss, and it got to a point where playoffs were looking unlikely. But now, like Henry was saying, the Cowleys have come in, done a tremendous job, and playoffs are pretty much in our own hands. And that couldn't be said 3-4 weeks ago.
No, and going back to kind of analysing Pompey on Saturday, Henry, some of the players you would highlight before the game to look to make an impact against Burton Albion, you're looking at your Ronan Curtis, your Marcus Harness, your Ryan Williams, three players who, since the Cowleys have come in, they've completely thrived under this new game style, under the new kind of atmosphere that has circulated around Fratton Park. There's absolutely no denying that. And those three players, I think, have probably had the biggest impact from that. But on Saturday, they just weren't quite at the races, were they? And sometimes when you go into a match, as Pompey did, with three of your three forwards, your recognised strikers, all either suspended or injured, you look to those players to kind of step up to the mark. And when they don't, it's really hard to win football games. We had to look to Charlie Daniels to try and get the ball into the back of the net. And that's, when you're looking at a left-back to try and score your goals, that's just when you know that it's just not your day.
Yeah, exactly that. And as you say, I think when you look at the style of football that Cowleys want to adopt, it's attacking at every opportunity. And when you haven't got your star striker there who's suspended, then it's going to be much more difficult. If we were talking about the previous regime, you'd probably be talking about things differently because you're containing most of the game to get that goal or nick a goal somewhere. And usually it doesn't matter who gets the goal because it just by the way we play. But when you're playing high tempo attacking football, you need all the attackers that you possibly can. And when you haven't got those proven goal scorers, those who can do it week in, week out, got that eye for goal, then it's going to make life even more difficult. But I think as well, credit to the way Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank set his team up. I know we spoke about it a little bit in the first half of the show, but he's quite astute when it comes to the game. You don't win what he's won without knowing the game. And I think he set his team up in a way to frustrate, and he did to a large spell.
And more kind of looking at Pompey as well, Ryan, I think one of the big talking points on Saturday around about 2 o'clock when the team news came out, Sean Raggett still named within that starting 11. When looking at the pictures and the videos from the game, you could see that he was kind of sporting this huge plaster on his left cheek following the injury sustained at Wigan at the DW on Monday. And I think a lot of fans were fearing the worst, but maybe he'd be out for a prolonged period of time. But he's come back. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. We spoke about it on the Football Hour last Tuesday about Sean Raggett. And he puts his heart and his soul on the line for the club. And that was further emphasised on Saturday when he was, he had to get his checkups by the medical team who, we would like to think, they put him through and say, yep, he's available to play, because it being a facial, a head injury, there are certain risks that come with that. But Sean to step up to the plate and want to continue playing, that shows a lot about his character.
It does. And I mean, you could say Sean Raggett's not the the best footballer you've ever seen play for the club, but you won't get many better fighters and people willing to put their bodies on the line. I mean, Raggett epitomises passion and grit. I mean, if you want to win a header, he's your man. And if you throw a brick, he'll probably edit. And he's just one of those defenders that you want in your team because he's just solid. And a lot of fans weren't very happy with his performances, but under the Cowleys especially, I think he's really grown into that role next to Watmore.
And you can't kind of hide from the fact that Sean Raggett, he's a former player under the Cowleys during his time at Lincoln City, mm-hmm. taking the club up from the non-league system up to League One. So, you know, the Cowleys know all about Sean Raggett. I'm sure he's a player who will certainly, like you say, Ryan, thrive under their management. Another player who Pompey fans do adhere to, Henry, and again, another player who does come under question sometimes with some of his performances. But again, another professional who you can't really question his commitment to the club. He's very vocal. He is a leader on the pitch, and someone Pompey are going to miss in the next few weeks, Lee Brown, who unfortunately picked up a nasty injury on Saturday to what we think will be his hamstring. Awaiting to kind of hear the definite results from that. But he's a player who will definitely be missed in this run-in.
Yeah, and Lee Brown is the epitome of a captain of a team that goes and wins leagues and goes and gets promotion, whether that be automatically or by the playoffs. Okay, he's not your best player in the side, and I think he'd be the first to admit it. But what he does, he stands up and he leads, and leads by example. And I feel like he's had a bounce himself the last few weeks. It almost felt like, you know, what we saw before, but after that, it's kind of given him that reinvigoration. And you can tell by how vocal he's been the last few games. You know, he ain't been afraid, even when winning, to dig players out and tell them when the standards are not up there, not good enough, even in winning performances. And when you lose a vocal leader like that, who leads by example, that means the VC has to step up and step up to the plate, because when you lose someone as important as him, even though maybe he's not the best player in the team, but what he brings to the team is so important, it's tough to lose. But I think there's enough strong characters within that team now who have enough confidence to be able to step up into that arena.
Yeah. Henry, Ryan, we'll be back with you very, very shortly. But we're now going to hear once more from head coach Danny Cowley. He spoke to Ollie Marsh at the training ground earlier this morning, looking ahead to tomorrow evening's trip to Crewe.
We're anticipating a wounded animal. They'll obviously be disappointed with the defeat at home. I think they've lost the last three home games, and prior to then they've had such an outstanding home record for such a long time under David Artell. So we know they're a proud football club. We know that they've got a lot of good players. They can play with a real rhythm and a fluency when they get it right, and we know Crewe Alexander are a dangerous opponent, and we'll be preparing for a really tough game.
John Marquis is back from suspension. Will he be available for you? What's his fitness like?
Yeah, well, John has just unfortunately had an issue with the ankle. It's been an ongoing issue. It hasn't quite been right. We've been trying to do our best to settle it down. And I think we'll know more, I suppose, in the next 24 hours whether he's going to be available to us or not.
And for Lee Brown as well, what's the latest on him?
Yeah, so Lee is having a scan on his hamstring, so it's a soft tissue injury. It looks like the bicep femoris, the outside hamstring muscle. It looks mid-belly and it looks low level, so we're hoping that the scan's going to come back and there's not going to be too much damage, and he'll be back available as soon as possible.
And I suppose you've got Charlie Daniels as well, and with the amount of experience that he has, as well as other things, you know, it's not a bad replacement to have.
Absolutely. Charlie's had a wonderful career, great with the younger players, brings us real quality with his left foot. First and foremost, a good defender, but also gives us a real attacking option in terms of his overlapping and his delivery, and also has the ability, as we saw on Saturday, to make the box when we're crossing from the right-hand side and be a goal threat.
Yeah, is it important when you have not too many attacking options that the goals come from all areas of the pitch?
I think that's always your ambition. You want the goals to come from everywhere. You know, on Saturday we made 600 passes. I think we had 88% possession in the second half. But if we're critical of ourselves, possession's great, but there always needs to be a purpose to it. And, you know, when I look at our possession, I quickly look for our chance conversion. And if we're being, like I said, critical of ourselves, which we have to be if we want to improve, then we need to
create more chances for the amount of possession that we had. And actually, a lot of our play in the first two thirds of the pitch was very, very good, and we continually got control and rhythm into the final third. We just lacked a little bit of penetration, and then as a consequence, some of our decisions and execution wasn't quite as good as we would have liked. So we still, having said that, had nearly two expected goals and dominated that part of the game against the opponent. But the stats are the stats. People only really care about the facts, and the facts say that we lost by a goal to Burton. So while we're disappointed with that, we've taken some good learning. And to be fair to the group again, you know, we've worked really, really hard with our possession, and we've worked really hard in the first two thirds of the pitch, our press break and our create phase, the finishing phase, the final third of the pitch, the assist and their final action, and more importantly, the movement to get into those final actions, we haven't done as much of, because naturally you have to layer the learning and you can't throw it all at a group. So it has to be gradual and it has to be progressive, and that's what it's been. And we did some work this morning on the finishing phase, and we will continue to improve. And the great thing is we've managed to win four games out of five as a new group, and we've got loads to improve on. And that really excites me, because if we do continue to improve, then we will get the outcomes that we want, we will get to the position at the end of the season that we all want to be, and hopefully by then you're going to see us playing some of our best football.
And in terms of working on the improvements, obviously it's a long trip, a Tuesday night as well. How do things work in terms of making sure you fit the preparation and the travelling in and making sure that you're ready?
Yeah, well, that's all part of the job. The logistics are important, and we have to get that right so that we can recover the group as well as we can. We can get the necessary learning into the group and the preparation into the group to play at Crewe. I've told them it's 25 degrees in Crewe today, so we're looking forward to going up north and enjoying the warm weather. And it's great for us, you know. This is why we live. We love football. So when the games come thick and fast, that's exactly what we all enjoy. And the challenge of two away games at the back end of the week is a great challenge for us. And if you want to be a successful team, you have to be really good at playing and playing well, recovering and recovering well, training and training well, preparing and preparing well, and then playing well again. And that's what it is. It's great for us. We love football and we're looking forward to it.
Just under 20 minutes remain for you to get your final text, tweets and emails into the panel this evening. Pompey fans, text Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. In the next part of the show, we'll be taking an even closer look at tomorrow's opponents, as well as reading out your score predictions from back home. Join us again for the third and final part of this Monday Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to view timetables and even pay for your next ticket. And please remember that you must wear a face covering whilst using public transport as per the current government guidelines. We've reached the part of the show now where we begin to take a much closer look at the Blues' next fixture. Pompey travel to Gresty Road tomorrow evening to take on Crewe in match day number 40 of this League One season. And right now we're asking for your score predictions. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express and include your name at the end, of course. Otherwise, you can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet @expressfm, or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. But first of all, it's time to put you in the hands of Conor Mosley, who has a closer look at tomorrow night's opponent, Crewe Alexandra.
It was defeat last time out for Danny Cowley and Pompey, who fell behind by 2-1 at home to Burton at the weekend. Up next is another side aiming to put behind a miserable Saturday, Crewe Alexandra.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues suffer their first loss under the new management at Fratton Park on Saturday, but attention swiftly turns to the next task in hand. Here's a little more information on the team known as the Railwaymen.
Manager.
Rotherham-born Gibraltarian David Artell is the boss of the Alex. The 40-year-old, who was deployed at centre-back throughout his 19-year playing career, has been in charge at Gresty Road since the 8th of January 2017, replacing Steve Davis at the helm, with the side battling relegation out of the Football League. Artell lifted Crewe to a 17th place finish, overhauled the squad and achieved 15th in 2018 before leading them to a top half finish the following campaign. With progress evident in Crewe's improved final finishes, the former Mansfield, Chester and Morecambe defender was trusted with taking the club to the next level, and he succeeded in doing so in 2020 when they were promoted to League One, following the decision to end the season on a points per game basis. Overall, Crewe have won 86, drawn 41 and lost 90 from 217 competitive fixtures under David Artell, whose managerial career only started when he took the job on a little over 4 years ago.
One to watch.
Crewe are a team who pride themselves on homegrown talent, and our one to watch this time around is just one of many examples of players who represent the Alex, having come up through the youth ranks at the club. 23-year-old midfielder Charlie Kirk is this week's player to look out for. The local lad, who is born a short distance away from Crewe in the town of Winsford, has been under contract as a professional at Gresty Road since 2017 and has since made almost 200 competitive appearances for the club. Kirk wears the number 10 shirt for the Alex and is likely to be put out on the wing against Pompey to provide plenty of problems for the Blues fullbacks, as he has done to many League One defences this season.
Top scorer.
French forward Mikel Mandron is currently leading the way in the goal-scoring charts at Gresty Road. The 26-year-old has netted on 9 occasions in League One this season and has registered 3 assists. Mandron was signed from Gillingham on a 12-month contract last August and scored his first goal in a 3-2 victory over Bolton Wanderers in the EFL Trophy, a match in which he would go on to also score his second goal in red. He's eligible to represent England and Scotland on the international stage, despite his French heritage. Despite never receiving a call-up for any country at senior level, Mandron has linked up with the Scottish under-20s back in 2013 and qualifies to play for Scotland through an Aberdeen-born grandparent.
Current form.
Last time out, Crewe were subject to a 6-0 home defeat inflicted by Oxford United, having won 2 and lost 2 at their previous 4 fixtures. The Railwaymen are on a run of loss, win, loss, win, loss in their last 5 matches, which started with a 3-0 defeat at home to Burton Albion, who beat the Blues at the weekend. In this season's reverse fixture, Pompey ran out 4-1 winners at Fratton Park, thanks to a brace from Ronan Curtis and solo strikes from Tom Naylor and John Marquis. Overall, Crewe have played 39 games this season in the league, have won 15, lost 15, and sit in 15th position with 54 points on the board. Who, if anyone, will return to winning ways? Can Pompey bag their 5th win in 6 under Danny Cowley, or will the Railwaymen bounce back from Saturday's capitulation? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer inspection on Crewe, Pompey's next challenge. Let's talk a little bit more about Crewe now then, Ryan. 15th in the league, not long promoted from League 2, managed by David Artell, who is doing a cracking job at Gresty Road. As we heard in that segment, a club which pride themselves on their academy graduates, and there are plenty of them expected to take the field and pose a threat tomorrow.
No, there are, and we're going to have to be careful of that. We're going to have to go into it like every other game with the intention of winning and giving our opposition respect, because they're going to want to bounce back, as was said in the report, that they're going to want to bounce back from their 6-0 loss to Oxford at the weekend, and we're going to want to bounce back from our loss against Burton as well. So it's going to be an interesting one, but they're going to have threats, we're going to have threats. And I'm sure it'll be an interesting affair. Charlie Kirk's definitely one to look out for. The Crewe, definitely.
Yeah. A 6-0 defeat last time out, Henry. Pff, a heavy, heavy defeat. They're on a bit of inconsistent form, but they will be hungry to return to winning ways tomorrow, especially after such a hefty loss. We all know that we're not going to go into tomorrow's game expecting them to roll over like they did on Saturday.
Beware the wounded animal, as they say. As you say, it's the worst possible scenario for them, but Crewe can go into this with kind of a nothing to lose approach, because they will be expected to lose tomorrow night. Pompey will be heavy favourites to get the win, but I don't like playing teams after they've been heavily beaten, because they will then have retribution. They will be expected to react. They'll be expected to respond following a poor display. And when you're the team that are rocking up to face them, it's a tough task, because what you know from minute 1 to minute 90 tomorrow is you're going to get a team that should be absolutely bang at it from minute one to minute 90 because they've got a point to prove, and they need to prove whether they can get contracts for next year. They're going to prove whether they're good enough for the level and all the rest of the bits that come with that. So it's not a nice game in that fact, because they're always tough teams to play. But if you're Portsmouth and you've just lost against Burton, it's also not a bad game to have without due disrespect to Kew Alexandra. So that Portsmouth should get the job done, but they've got to be wary of that team just been handed that heavy defeat.
Mm. A tweet in from our very own Darren Gamblin on Twitter from the weekend result. He says, some games you just got to put your hands up. We were outplayed, bullied and unsettled. Their work rate was spot on, from Darren Gamblin there on Twitter. But, you know, throwing back to tomorrow's game at Crewe, Ryan, again, we heard in that report from Connor, Mikael Mandron, he's been a bit of a journeyman around the Football League in the last six or seven seasons. In particular, a player to look out for tomorrow.
No, he is. I mean, I think it was in the report, 9 goals to his name in the league this term. He's definitely one to look out for, but that's just part and parcel of the game. Each team are going to have their threat. Each team are going to have their main man, and it's going to be down to us to try and prevent them having the ball, prevent them having chances. And if we can do that, nullify them getting shots at McGilvray and goal, and therefore stopping them scoring. And if we can do that, we'll hopefully create enough chances to score the goals to win the game. Hmm. I mean, Mandron, like you say, has been around a fair few years, and it looks as though he's found his feet with Crewe this season.
Yeah, completely irrelevant, but why not? It's half time at the Hawthorns, where West Bromwich Albion are 2-0 up on their relegation rivals. I'm not going to name the team, but I think you can guess. They are 2-0 up against them at the Hawthorns at the moment. It's half time.
Are they a team that like to lose 9-0 by any chance?
A couple of times, Henry. A couple of times. Yeah, apparently. Big club. Lose 9-0 often. Don't win anything. Anyway, looking to... Sorry?
They play rugby if they like losing 9-0 all the time.
Cricket season is in full swing now, isn't it?
Yeah, but even... 0-9, I suppose you could see that down the local rec, I suppose.
Carol in Hayling Island on the text, she says, 4-4-2, please, Danny Cowley. Not a 4-2-3-1. Going for a Pompey win by 3-0. Carol on the text there, Ryan. In relation to that point there, would you like to see Danny Cowley go for a 4-4-2? Now, we heard his interview before the break, and we've heard kind of reports from today and from the weekend. We were expecting John Marquis to be back within this Pompey team. He served his 3-game suspension after the red card at Shrewsbury. However, we've also heard that he's picked up a bit of an injury. He's carrying a knock to the ankle. He's had a second injection this weekend, and it will probably be a case of a late fitness test. So I think we'd be very surprised to see John Marquis maybe rush back into the frame this early on. But kind of going back to that text, would you like to see a 4-4-2? Or do you not think that Pompey have kind of got the tools available at the moment to pull that off?
I don't know if it's that we've not got the tools, because, I mean, Harness and Williams can play centrally too, as well as Curtis. So if Marquis is fit, potentially 4-4-2 could work. But if not, I don't think 4-4-2 would be viable, purely because... I don't think the football's been the problem. I think it's very much been the chance creation. But I mean, if you were to stick two strikers up, you know, hopefully chance creation's more viable. But it's a tricky one, because like Danny Cully was saying, we're short at the top end of the pitch with the injuries that we do have. But if Marquis can come in and play up front, with alongside maybe Curtis and Harness and Williams either side, I'd be happy with that. But if we were to stick with a 4-2-3-1, I'd also be happy with that as well. So we'll have to wait and see.
Just going to get to a couple more interactions before we do leave you in just a few moments' time, Pompey fans. Will Fisk on Twitter has got involved. When Lee Brown plays, results are statistically better. I know focus on fullbacks these days is that they play as secondary wingers. And whilst he's not the best going forward, he is so solid at back, is the opinion of Will Fisk on Twitter. Steve Stenning, he's got in touch tonight. He says, I say move Johnson to left back and give Hadji Manoga a start at right back. back. Though Daniel scored, he doesn't look mobile enough. He's either not fit or just advancing years, having taken a few yards off him. That is from Steve Stenning on Facebook. Robert Oxford's going for this starting 11 tomorrow. McGilvery, Nicolaisen, Raggett, Watmore, with Naylor, Close and Cannon, Curtis Williams, with Marquis and Harness up top. I think that may have come in before the news about John Marquis, but nonetheless, thank you for your comment, Robert, on Facebook, and got a couple more in. Terry Smith, he says, will we have any strikers, Terry? I don't know. We might do. We might not. I wouldn't hold out any hope for it, though, I'm afraid, given today's news regarding John Marquis. And John Brooks has got a score prediction. He says it's going to be a 1-0 win to Pompey there on Facebook. And a final one on the emails, Marcus Deakins. It was a shame to lose on Saturday, but at the end of the day, if we'd been offered a 4-game winning run a few weeks ago, we'd have all jumped at the chance. I'd happily take an 80% win rate between now and the end of the season. Not only have we had injuries and Marcus's suspension to deal with, we now have a manager who likes to play high-pressing football, trying to get results from a team built to play hoofball. We need to give the Cowleys a chance to build their own side. Give them a 2-year contract, let them decide who they want to keep and who to let go. Give them a season to assemble their own team, make any adjustments in January next year, and give them a second half of the season for that team to gel. Then they show us what they're made of in their second full season. That's the opinion of Marcus Deakins on the emails. And we have reached the end of the show, lads, I'm afraid. Henry Deakin, thanks for joining me tonight, mate. A very quick score prediction from you, please.
Let's go 2-1. The old Cowley special.
2-1, the Cowley special. Henry, thank you very much, mate. Ryan, what are you going for, lad?
I think I'm going to go pretty similar. I'm going to go for a clean sheet, though. 2-0.
Nice to hear. Nice to hear. Henry, Ryan, thank you both ever so much for calling in this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you guys very, very soon. My score prediction, I'm going to go... I think I'm going to copy Henry, actually. I'm going to go for a Cowley special. 2-1 Pompey victory. OK, Blues fans, match day number 40 is fast approaching. Not long left of this season for Pompey to retain their position in the top six of League One. They take on Crewe Alexandra tomorrow evening. Kickoff is 6 o'clock at Gresty Road, and all of the action on Express FM from 5:30.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fourth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey's four-match winning streak come to an end on Saturday after they were beaten at home by Burton Albion.
Cleared off the line, still there into the net, and Burton have taken the lead. Come from distance, oh, what a strike from Joe Powell. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Up next, Pompey travel to Crewe Alexandra. Join us for all the unmissable action this Tuesday from 5.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Just to reiterate, we will be on air from 5:30 tomorrow evening. Just half an hour build-up for the clash between Pompey and Crewe Alexandra at Gresty Road. Do not want to miss it. Not long of this season remaining, like I just said. Just 7 games remaining for Pompey to try and keep up with the rest of the division at the top and try and secure a playoff finish come May the 9th. And by the way, the final game of the season, Pompey at home to Accrington Stanley, scheduled for Saturday the 8th of May, has now been moved to Sunday. The entire League One schedule for that weekend will all be played on Sunday. It's a midday kickoff, Pompey against Accrington Stanley on the 9th of May. OK, coming up this evening, Jeff and Adrian will have the latest from the Blue Stones, Kill the Giants and the Dust Coda, as well as Jonah Sue on the Soft Rock Show from 7 through till 9. Scattering the Roots with Dan Ogus is back from 9 through till 11 o'clock. And then we've got the Express Wind Down between 11 o'clock and 2 a.m. with nothing but relaxing songs all night long to try and ease you in to tomorrow morning. Mason Jordan is back tomorrow with Portsmouth Breakfast. He's got great songs and the latest Portsmouth travel, weather, sport and news updates, as well as the Rewind Year from 9. Liam's back from 10 through till 1. Ian James is back playing Who Am I from 1 till 2. And then the Victory Years between 2 and 4 before James Percy, 4 till 5:30. So Pompey fans, join us from 5:30 tomorrow evening to find out if Pompey can return to winning ways. Thank you for listening and good night.